Hello, Fightful Faithful, and welcome to a hopeful and optimistic, a ponderous episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pulowski. Everything sucks. I mean, not everything. I mean, there was a press conference given today by lawyers for the president about how, you know, democracy is bad. It's basically their argument. Democracy is bad, so we shouldn't do democracy anymore, and we're suing to make sure that's a thing. But they gave a press conference at the Four Seasons, not the hotel, but a landscaping company that's next door to an adult bookstore and across the street from a crematorium. So not everything sucks. That was pretty great. I mean, not the democracy thing, because I'm again, hopeful, cautiously optimistic. But not optimistic about Survivor Series season. Last night's SmackDown consisted of the first half hour, one quarter of the show being a pretty damn great, nigh on fantastic, ...20-minute-plus curtain jerker of a feud-capping, brilliant grudge match between two of the best women's wrestlers we will ever see. And everything that happened after the show, after that on the show, was basically just trash. I'm drinking lemonade. It's the official beverage of Sour Graps. Gives me that sour power. Yeah. All right. Nothing sour to say about the beginning of the show last night. Well, maybe Michael Cole doing, it's boss time! I hate when he fucking does that. But I thought this match was great. There's not this isn't a blow by blow. Here's what they did. This was the spots they did. This led to a two count. No, that's what this show is. The show is not that. So this is going to be a short episode because a quarter of the show was just one match. It was really great. There's a lot of good spots. I thought the finish was decent. I love, you know, Banks hitting the bank statement. I mean, there's certain things that during the match that I didn't like, but it wasn't the fault of the wrestlers. Bailey does a backstabber on Sasha, and Michael Cole can't help himself. He has to go, that's Sasha's move. Sasha does that move, and Bailey just did it to her. Which sets up Bailey doing a Bailey to Belly. And she does it, and then Corey, I think as a rib to Cole, goes, well, that's Bailey's move. The right person won. Sasha finally successfully defended her title, got that monkey off her back. That gets a lot of the Sasha stans. That's their thing. They don't have to bring that up anymore. I feel like that's a relief to the Sasha stans, that they don't have to be like, guys, you have to let her defend her title correctly. I mean, I agree. I'm not a Sasha stan. I do love her. But I'm not a Sasha stan, and I agree. You had to eventually let her defend her title successfully, and you did. Maybe now it's a winning streak. Maybe now she can have like a 200-day reign or something. You know, we'll see. Sasha should absolutely carry this belt into Mania. You know? Like, at least give her that. But yeah, this was all great. And then after the match, Bayley taps out to the bank statement. After the match, Sasha is backing up the ramp, and here comes Carmella, totally new gear. And she does a super kick, and she stands tall over Sasha's unconscious frame. And now we're getting Carmella versus Sasha. Now, the Sasha and Bayley thing can't continue forever. This was a rematch. They don't need to have endless rematches. I don't need to see that. Sasha defended her title correctly. That's it. We'll go back to that eventually. They have too good of chemistry to not do it eventually. Again, is Carmella the right person to feud with Sasha? I would say yes. If only because Sasha needs some strong victories and feuds moving forward. I mean, I hope the next women's champion on SmackDown is Bianca. I would like to see a rocket strapped to her when they finally do it. Like, she should win the Royal Rumble and maybe even take it off of Sasha at Mania. I think you could easily have Sasha turn heel again, because Sasha's never really a babyface. She's out for Sasha, and it depends on whether or not we agree with that or not. And I think that she'll, I think she could turn on you know, attack Bianca when Bianca announces that, having won the Royal Rumble, she will be choosing to face Sasha Banks. And then you could have a cool build of a new, really charismatic, take no prisoners, really fun to watch babyface in Bianca up against the now heel again, the boss, Sasha Banks. I think that would be pretty good. So yeah, let's have Sasha Banks beat Carmella, because Carmella may think she's untouchable. She's a former two-time champ. She beat Charlotte a couple of times. She's very good. I think that her role now is to say, I was a champion, so now beating me means something. I think she could be champion again. I don't think that now is certainly not the time. So again, that was it for the good stuff on this episode. I mean, the main event match was fine, but I'm not super happy with. This is the first time in the Tribal Chief era that I was not super on board with the Tribal Chief storyline. So what happens after this? Let's see. Check my notes here. So Jey Uso is backstage preparing for an interview. Cup of coffee in his hand. Kevin Owens is like, you're getting coffee for Roman? Because you're his errand boy now? You think my family's a joke, Us? I know. We're all on pins and needles, Jay. It's been a rough week. But you don't need to jump down Kevin's throat like that. Owen's like, hey, I know we're partners at, no offense, I know we're partners at Survivor Series. I don't have much success at that event, so I was hoping maybe we could change that. You have stuff on your mind, and, you know, I'll leave you be. Maybe we should switch to decaf. So this is just starting that thing. Hey, back from the break, they announced the Undertaker's 30-year anniversary and his final farewell appearance at the Survivor Series pay-per-view. And if you believe that, then I have a bridge to sell you in Death Valley. Because nobody fucking believes. Please tell me you don't believe this final farewell is going to be at Survivor Series this year. Oh, he'll be there. But he's also going to be at Mania. And every fucking time they do a Saudi show, every time they do a Sons of Time, every time they do one of those, every time when they do one of those, he's definitely showing up. As long as the Prince of Saudi still has money that spends, he'll be there. Kayla, talking to Jay. She's really aggressive in her line of questioning. She's like some, I don't know. What am I trying to say? She's an investigative reporter. Like, I have lots of follow-ups. We all know that you're lying to us, Jay. So why don't you tell us about how much you're lying? Seems like you're lying a lot, Jay. Jay, are you lying so much? Why are you lying, Jay? Jay, when did you stop beating your wife? Ah, so you say you admit you beat your wife because you say you stopped. They never do this. They never ask these kind of questions. So it's just weird to have Kayla do it. It's like she's honestly, it's like Jey Uso is her ex, and she has to interview her ex. So why don't you tell them why you're a piece of shit? What about Amber? Tell me why you have her name in your phone all the time. Jay, what are you talking about? I mean, good for her, but I wish they would be consistent and do that with everybody and not just, you know, do shitty softball interviews to everyone. So you still got jokes, huh, Kayla? Blah, blah, blah. Heyman shows up and he says, Did Roman authorize this interview? Of course he did not authorize this interview. Reigns wants to see you. Kayla says something like, looks like Paul has a better spot in your beloved family than you do, Jay. Are you still throwing shade? Come on. Let's not keep Roman waiting. So Ray's backstage on the phone. Dominic walks up and he's like, you're not even dressed to wrestle. Where's your gear? I'm trying to get in touch with your sister, Aaliyah. She's not picking up. I got to know where she is. She's probably having sex with that guy who's in his 30s. Your match is like right now. Okay, you know where my gear is. Will you go get it for me? So then Corbin, again, this is the first time we have seen Corbin since the draft. I've been on the record. I thought that he should have gone to Raw, because you can't call yourself the king. Well, you shouldn't at all, like at all. And we'll talk about that. But you shouldn't at all. But in this case, you can't be the king of anything as a heel on the same show as the king shit of all heels ever, Roman Reigns. That's never going to work. It's not going to be plausible. So I thought that he should, he was drafted to SmackDown. Fine. I thought that he should go away, be off TV until the Rumble. Just give him some time off. You got other things to do on SmackDown. You have other things you can do on SmackDown. By the way, this is another week that's gone by with no Apollo Crews, former United States champion on Raw, drafted to SmackDown. Fuck all. Nothing for Aleister Black. Chad Gable 2 weeks ago talked about how big his dick was, and we haven't seen him since. So no long ED for the second straight week. You don't need Baron Corbin. You have other people you could slot in to do shit. You do. If you don't want to use Apollo Crews to actually make him look good, then have Chad Gable pick a fight with Apollo Crews, former United States champion, and have Apollo Crews and Chad Gable have a best of three series where Chad Gable wins the first one like really viciously, and Apollo Crews is like, whoa, I was not expecting that from this sawed off little monster. And Apollo wins the next one in a great long back and forth match, and then Chad Gable definitively wins, beating a former United States champion and elevating Chad Gable not only as a wrestler because he beat a former U.S. champion, but he looks great in these three matches, and it elevates him as a heel because he breaks Apollo Crews' ankle at the end of the match. The third match, that's how he wins. He puts Apollo in the ankle lock and won't let it go. And then you give Apollo some time off, and he gets to come back at the Rumble, and he immediately eliminates Chad Gable. And that's the end of that little feud. So yeah, that ties everything up, and you get to use two guys that you can build Chad Gable. You can reference Apollo Crews as a former champion and use that to your advantage. You get to do a little storyline at the Rumble, and Baron Corbin isn't on my fucking television anymore. But when Baron Corbin, in my mind, comes back at the Royal Rumble, he's not. He's got brand new gear, and he never references that he was ever the king. The king gimmick is dead because it's been off TV for 3 months, and we forgot about it, hopefully. Instead, nope, still King Corbin. Still fucking King Corbin. Still stupid fucking King Corbin. He attacks Rey Mysterio behind the backstage. That's what I was trying to say. Backstage. And oh my God, well, Dominic, Corbin runs away. And Dominic comes back and checks on his dad. Back from the break, Jey Uso is with Paul Heyman. Rey Mysterio has a qualifying match versus Baron Corbin, King Corbin, to get on the Survivor Series squad, and that's what we're talking about. So, Jey's with Paul. I respect what you're trying to do, but you got to run by Roman. Why do I have to get permission to do an interview on TV? Is that what you're saying? Yes, that's what I'm saying. Well, let's talk to Roman. You stay here. I'll go get him. So Roman comes out. Like, why are you talking to Kayla? You want to tell your story? Get your story out there. I was just giving an interview, man. We do these things all the time. If you watch the product, there's a chain of command. You got to come to me first, and if you can't find me, then you go to Paul. I was watching this thing. I saw this. What's going on with Kevin Owens? He's just making jokes. No, he's making fun of us, disrespecting our family. If you disrespects you, then he disrespects me, and we can't have that. I'm going to handle it, says Jey. And Roman says, did you know about this? And Heyman's like, yes, sir. I found out as it was happening. You're supposed to know everything. That's why you're here, to handle that shit so I don't have to. This just feels like filler shit. Feels like we're going backwards. The Jey Uso that beat the fuck out of Daniel Bryan at the end of last week's SmackDown isn't like, but Roman, why can't I give an interview to Kayla? I just wanted to give an interview to Kayla. Roman, you're so mean. Here's how you get to the Kevin versus Jey match. You have Kevin walk up to Jey, who's getting himself coffee, and say, "You getting that for Roman? What'd you say to me?" I was making a joke because making a joke. You got jokes now? You think you're funny? You think you're funny man? And then Jey beats the fuck out of Kevin Owens backstage. They have to pull him apart, and they make a match for that for later. And it doesn't involve Roman at all, but you can see Jey is completely on edge and doesn't even know who he is or why he's doing it. He's just pissed at everybody, and the littlest thing sets him off. I think that if you're in the mafia crime family, they're doing this, Samoan's hit squad or whatever. If Roman's the godfather, then I love the idea of Jey as like the Joe Pesci character, who, if you set him off Any little thing will set him off, and he will fucking behead you. Like, I think that's a great thing to do for him, because he's just so fucking pissed he's even in the situation that he's lashing out at everyone. And then you don't have to have the whole Paul Heyman and the thing and the Caleb Braxton giving him really shitty questions and all that stuff. You could just dispense with all that. And look at all the time you have left to do, I don't know, Chad Gable versus Apollo Crews. Anyway, go find Adam Pearce so we can handle the KO problem tonight. And again, I guess it's kind of cool that Heyman, that Roman has this kind of power and he's showing, he's exerting it, but it's not necessary. We could do other things too. So Corbin comes out and he's faces Ray. Ray's limping and he's still in street clothes. He's not going to change his gear. So Corbin's really good in the ring. I've always thought that. I always thought he's really innovative and he works great with guys who are smaller than him. Seth comes out at the top of the stage and just stands there. And Dominic's there, and he's just watching Seth at the top of the stage. At one point, Corbin attacks Dominic, right? Rollins attacks Dominic, that's right, at the end. Ray makes the save, and then Murphy and Aaliyah come walking down the ramp. They're going to stop Rollins, but they don't get the chance because Ray yells at her, "Get the hell out of here!" Like he was on the phone, like trying to leave messages for her, saying, "Aaliyah, where are you? Please come here. Aaliyah, where are you? I need to know where you are. Come here. Get over here, Aaliyah. I miss you. Where are you? Get here." And she shows up and says, "Get the hell out." Great, smart, good writing, excellent. So he gets back in the ring, distracted. Distraction finish number one. Hits the end of days, and King Corbin, who was drafted back to SmackDown to remain on SmackDown, hasn't been on TV since, so that's several weeks now, and hasn't said a word yet, is on Survivor Series team. I mean, I hope to like be eliminated quickly, because the King Corbin thing is dreck. It's been 14 months now. It's a year. It was last September that the King of the Ring tournament was. Like, you can't even have like the current reigning King of the Ring. Like, what happens if you don't have one? I don't know, until July. So he's the reigning thing only kind of works if you do one every year. You know, your time's ticking away, people. Before it becomes kind of ridiculous that he's the reigning King of the Ring, and we're looking around going like, when was that? It was 4 years ago. So Corbin wins. Rollins is smirking at Ray and blah, blah, blah. Well, he fucking cares. Jey Uso for Kevin Owens. Now official. Looks like Roman pulling some strings. So there's a Survivor Series qualifying match. I guess that was set up by some network exclusive, but we never got to see it. It's Natalya versus Ruby Riott versus Lena Vega. Now you may remember that Natalya was in the triple threat last week that put Bianca Belair in the Survivor Series team. She did not factor in the finish. Bianca pinned Billie Kay. So in this one, Ruby Riott, who is sporting a really good-looking, close-cropped hairdo, it's short hair, I like it a lot. It looks much better than what they had her wearing before. She's out there without Liv. But it's she wins. had a Natalya puts Zelina in the sharpshooter. And then Ruby comes in and like puts like a weird like armbar crossface thing on Zelina. But she can't really dig it in right because of the angle that the sharpshooter is being applied. So the announcers are going, well, if Zelina taps, then who wins? But doesn't matter because Natalya realizes that Ruby's there and lets the sharpshooter go. So I guess she can get rid of Ruby. But in the split second that happens, Ruby's now able to crank back on that crossface and Zelina taps out. So Ruby's going to smack to the Survivor Series and Natalya's pissed. So I'm assuming what they're going to do with Natalya is they're going to have her be part of another triple threat next week between, I don't know, Liv and... I don't know. And Natalya's going to lose that one too. And maybe she'll be like left out, but it is kind of funny they keep calling her the boat. Best of all times, considering she can't win a simple triple threat. I guess that's the joke. Big E's playing some game with somebody backstage. I forget what it is. I don't know. Who cares? But he's back there. He's back there with Street Profits, and they're becoming friends, which is nice. That's very wholesome. So they're like, hey, can you give us some? Then we're friends and we're both on SmackDown. How about you give us some inside info on your boys, the New Day, so we know how to beat them? Well, he brings him in for a little huddle, and the camera pushes him real close, and he says, if you guys start out the match and lay down in the middle of the ring, then maybe Kofi and Woods won't beat you up so bad. And then they all laugh way too loud, way too hard. Billie Kay comes in and she's also laughing and she's fantastic. I do love her. I really like her a lot. She's very funny. She's just bringing out her headshot and resume to everybody. Remember, she's doing that Adam Pearce last week. Hello, Mr. Last week, she said, Mr. Pearce. And that was Pierce, not Piss. I don't have a very good Australian accent. It's about the same as my Scottish accent that I do for Drew McIntyre on Raw. It's just Mr. Profits. I love that she calls them Mr. Profits. That's really great. In case you need any inside info on Raw, you will see here on my resume that I was part of the Raw roster. So anything you need to know, you can talk to me. And Dawkins is like, Billy, we were on the Raw at the same time as you. And she goes, ah, yeah. And so that's it. And here's the thing. You draw attention to it, guys. If you're going to do the draft, it's really imperative that you don't just switch the rosters. Because then everybody on Raw goes to SmackDown and everybody on SmackDown goes to Raw, but all those same matchups are still active, and especially right before Survivor Series. Because, well, on Raw, the Raw men's team for Survivor Series right now has 4 out of 5 guys on it. And of those 4, 3 are transplants from SmackDown. And on SmackDown, you have now 4, right? And Baron was already on SmackDown, so that's good. Jay was already on SmackDown, so that's good. Kevin just came from Raw, and we'll talk about this later. Seth just came from Raw, so you have like it's good that you guys know that we know that you know that all of your rosters just switching brands at the same time. It's Seth and Otis, guys. It's Seth versus Otis. And I really do think that Seth Rollins is one of the most talented wrestlers in the world. I really do. Just straight up talent. In ring, and also his ability to like just, if he's doing it right, to just make a crowd hate him. You know? The heel stuff he did, babyface Rollins. That's weird because his moveset is very babyface, but he doesn't work really as a babyface, as a character, just the way he presents itself. Well, a lot of that is the writing for him, but he's so great to hate, you know? But the Messiah thing is done. It's done. He doesn't have anybody following him anymore. I don't care. Like, they had a great opportunity. I've talked about this. To do something really cool where, like, he had moles everywhere. You had no idea who was actually a follower of the Monday Night Messiah. They didn't decide not to do that. One of Authors of Pain, AOP, one of them got hurt, so they banished the other guy to off TV when that other guy could have easily been wrestling tag matches with Murphy and hell. Like, Murphy and one half of AOP would have been like an unstoppable duo. Like, one guy's way too fast and way stronger than he looks. The other guy is super strong and much more athletic than you expect he'd be. That's a great combination. But instead, they fired both of those guys for no fucking reason. It doesn't work. This version of Seth, his obsession with ruining the Mysterio family because, I don't know, because the greater good, I guess. I'm just done with this character and his motivations. None of it makes any sense to me anymore. I don't like it. It is not fun to watch. And then he's facing off against Otis. And his character, as I've said, is just basically a shaved orangutan. Except now Michael Cole keeps calling him Mr. Hard Luck. Mr. Hard Luck. It's such hard luck that he got sent. His girlfriend got traded by the Miz to Raw, and then his best friend he neglected and made it all about himself until the best friend snapped and turned on him. So he lost his Money in the Bank briefcase, and now his best friend is on Raw, jobbing out to Ricochet in 45 seconds. And so he doesn't have the briefcase anymore, doesn't have his friend anymore, doesn't have his girlfriend anymore, just alone on SmackDown, Mr. Hard Luck. And if you don't think they're going to do some kind of music video with Otis in a cowboy hat, Jesus. There's need to talk about it being a country song or whatever. Anyway, this version of Seth Rollins versus this version of Otis is a match that takes place in my own personal hell. Seth kicking him in the belly and him dancing around with his belly's jiggling. Fucking stupid. Murphy comes down. Murphy's doing the thing where he tenses his fingers very dramatically in front of him. And he walks down and he just stands there. And the Mysterios are watching, of course, backstage, all standing sideways from the TV. And they're like, what's up with your boyfriend? And she's like, I don't know. So eventually, he stands on the ring apron, just stands there. He doesn't do anything. He's just looking at Otis, and he looks at Seth. He looks at Otis. He looks at Seth. Seth's laying down in the corner, and Otis was going to do the caterpillar to him or whatever. So Otis just runs at Murphy. Murphy did not make a move to get into the ring, didn't do anything to signal that he was actually going to get involved in any way, except for he stood on the apron. That's it. So Otis runs at Murphy, and Murphy jumps down off the ring, off the apron. And so Otis gets super kicked and then stomped. So Mr. Hard Luck is Mr. Hard Stupid falling for that stupid distraction. It's a bad, it's fucking stupid, guys. It's fucking stupid. So Rollins watches Murphy walk straight to the back. And I'm back from the break. Seth runs up, he catches up with Murphy backstage. He's like, I know what I saw. I think I know what I saw. Did I see what I think I saw? Did you see? Did you do the thing that I thought I saw when you did the thing I saw? Murphy points at Rollins, Messiah, disciple. And so Rollins says, do it again. And Murphy does. I knew you would see the light. I knew you would see the Mysterio family was never going to accept you. I do accept you. Rollins walks away, and Liam Sierra runs up, and she's upset. What are you doing? Why would you help Seth? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? I said I loved you. She actually doesn't say that last part, but it's implied. So Murphy tries to calm her down, says, I know what I'm doing. I need you to trust me. This is for the greater good. So I guess Murphy's long con is to get Rollins to trust him so that he can... What's the end game? Is Murphy going to make Rollins trust him so that Rollins will think that Murphy is helping him during the Survivor Series match, but it'll get Seth eliminated, thereby costing SmackDown the Survivor Series match? But I thought the most important thing was for SmackDown to win the Survivor Series matches? How about that was distraction finish number two? There were a lot of distraction finishes on NXT. There were a lot of distraction finishes last night as well. So, Michael Cole says last week, Corey had a sit-down interview with Lars Sullivan. And this week, I had my own thing to talk to Lars Sullivan. And they cut backstage to a pre-taped interview. Now, before last week, it was Corey and Lars sitting next to each other in director's chairs in the little backstage ring that they have set up. Lars is sitting there wearing a polo shirt, casual, just having a chat. Two guys having an interview. The background is all lit and everything. You can easily see it. The Michael Cole interview from last night, however, is in a darkened room with like spotlights drastically hitting both Lars, the interviewee, and Cole, the interviewer. Cole is seated, wearing his normal suit, tie, his glasses. And Lars is shirtless. And it's never explained why Lars is shirtless. He may also have been pantsless. He may have been stark nude. We have no idea. But all we know is he was shot from the waist up, so he was not wearing a shirt. It was never explained to us why he was not wearing a shirt. He was not wearing a shirt. I have to say this one last time. Lars Sullivan, for this interview, was not wearing a shirt. It was pre-taped. It wasn't like it was live and he showed up just from his match that he had. And there was no time for him to get a shirt. If Lars Sullivan shows up to your pre-tape on schedule and he shows up and he's nude, tell him to put on some damn clothes. Why is he nude?
In an interview with my colleague, Corey Graves, you talked about your time in elementary school and how you were bullied. Would you like to go into that further?
Yes. I hate bullies. I've been bullied my entire life for the way I looked, the way I talk, the way I dressed.
You didn't dress at all, buddy. Not for this interview. If somebody bullies you because you're naked, put on some damn clothes.
The bullies, they push me down. They steal my lunch. They kick me. They mock me. They call me a freak. Their kids would just stand there, watch, and laugh at my expense.
If this is written for him by somebody, it's a rib. He has really a lot of trouble with sibilant S's. It's a palate thing, or maybe his jaw is if your lower jaw is out of alignment, like pushed too far forward, there's a surgery they can do for that that helps your speech. But he's an adult man now. They usually do it for you when you're a kid. This is all physiological, you know? This thing that's going on with his speech.
He tried talking like this. If you push your lower jaw forward, your tongue doesn't quite know where to go. And so maybe you'll talk like this.
But if you're writing stuff for that guy and you don't want him to sound ridiculous, you put in as few words with S's in them as possible. So you don't need to say the other kids would stand there, watch. You just have them, the other kids would stand there and they'd watch and laugh. Instead, they added, they'd stand there and they'd watch and laugh at my expense. Expense. Make sure that expense is in there. Expense. Because you added an X and a spense to that to make him sound even more freakish.
At age 13, I started lifting weights and I learned how to take care of myself. I put in about 50 pounds of muscle and the bullying stopped. In fact,
again, he's also breathing through his nose like he's got a serious cocaine problem.
I became the bully. I bullied the bullies and that was so much fun. I bullied the kids who would just stand there. I got them back because they deserved it. I learned that I could bully whatever I wanted. And I could make them do whatever they wanted. I could make them eat whatever I wanted. I could make them eat dirt, glass, bugs.
Okay, dirt and bugs I'll give you. Kids. Kids are cruel. And it's funny, you know, like you. I mean, not funny, but to them, to the bullies, it's funny. Here, eat some dirt. Now, that's not good for you. Here, eat a bug. Now, that's gross. Eating glass, Lars. Again, that's assault. If you forced a child to eat glass, you may have caused some serious internal damage to that child, Lars. This is why I'm talking about Caleb Braxton given the hard questions to Jey Uso about how he beat up Daniel Bryan as part of a wrestling angle. But Michael Cole,
hears Lars say that he fed broken glass to children and lets it slide. It's ridiculous. I could do whatever I wanted. I could do this.
And I won't do it for you because it's really loud, but he just screams. He goes,
ah! Now that's intimidation. That's bullying. And I love it.
So screaming to you is intimidation and bullying. Fantastic. What the fuck are you doing with this poor guy? I don't say poor guy. I think he's probably a complete mess, a total dick. Like, maybe you were young and stupid when you left those messaging board things. And again, I've said this. You want to go gay for pay? Have fun, man. I'm not here to kink shame anybody. Sex work is work. But recently, you're soliciting married women who are not sex workers for nudes online, and that's just creepy. And again, according to your own admissions, you tortured children when you yourself were a child, which is the beginning of like serial killer behavior. Anyway, so Kayla has a little backstage here with Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens is, you know, what Reigns had Jay do to Daniel Bryan is out of hand. Like, I did a lot of questionable things for my family, so I understand. But what makes me different from Jay is that I did those things on my own. I'm my own man, and there was some more than I could say for Jay. Says, hey, Jay. This, what you did against Daniel, that was wrong. And this beating isn't coming from him. It's coming from me. So Owens goes to the ring. It's a decent match. These guys work really well together. Of course, they're very good. None of it matters. He says, Owens says during this interview with Kayla, I didn't expect to show up to work and have to fight my Survivor Series partner. Really, dude? You've been employed with this fucking company for how long? You didn't think you're going to have to face your Survivor Series partner? Really? Really? But it doesn't matter. It's not like if Kevin beats Jay, then Jay's off the team. Or if Jay beats Kevin, then Kevin's off the team. Just a fucking match. It doesn't fucking matter. And it doesn't fucking matter because Owens hits the pop-up powerbomb, covers Uso. Uso gets his foot on the ropes. So Owens is picking up Uso to do another powerbomb, I guess. But then we hear bow doo, bow doo, bow doo, bow 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 doo. And you hear Roman's music. And Kevin is like, "What?" and looks to the back. So Jay headbutts him in the junk. Pulling a Braun Strowman on Keith Lee. They use that exact same fucking low blow 2 goddamn weeks ago. So I know, like, well, we don't expect you to pay attention, remember things we did 6 months ago. How about 2 weeks ago? So he hits super kicks Owens in the face, hits the frog splash, and that's it. Reigns never even came out. Like, the music hit. Owens really startled by it. But Reigns never came out until after the match when Uso walks up the ramp. Then Reigns comes out. Reigns raises the title in the air and they look over at Kevin Owens and that's the end of the fucking match. And look at this. It's 49 minutes into the fucking episode of Sour Graps and SmackDown is done. Normally these things go about an hour 30. But we're done with SmackDown because that's what happens when you do a bunch of shitty distraction finishes
that stupid fucking soap opera angle with Mysterio's, a weird ass shirtless interview with Lars, the glass feeder, and the half a quarter of your show is taken up by a really great wrestling match. That's it. One quarter of SmackDown was really good. The rest was dreck. Really. I mean, as good as the Owens and Uso match was, it didn't fucking matter, and it ended in a shitty little distraction, low blow finish. Which I guess is supposed to show that Jay has turned to the dark side. Okay. My idea for him flying off the handle at Owens when Owens makes the joke about you getting Reigns' coffee too, that shows that Uso has gone to the dark side too. And then you have him beat Owens fucking clean. Maybe not clean, but maybe he uses his own brain instead of the fucking music going off. Maybe he distracts the ref in some other way. Maybe he undoes one of the turnbuckles and the ref has to turn around. Hey, now don't do that. Now I got to put the turnbuckle pad back on. And he uses that opportunity to do something chicanerous to Owens. That'll also achieve that same, ooh, looks like Jay has turned to the dark side thing. And then it could be of his own volition and not, you know, this thing that they're doing. And then you have time to put people on your show. People like Apollo Crews and Chad Gable and Aleister Black. Yeah, that's all SmackDown. And that's all Sour Grapes. I was going to do a thing about hope and optimism in the face of a really steep uphill climb that faces this country. But I'll spare it. I'll spare all of you from it. I will say this. It feels really good knowing that Vince McMahon is really upset about the results of the U.S. election. It feels really good. Like, in my heart of hearts, that feels really good. It doesn't, of all the things that brighten my soul about the results of the U.S. election, number one is not that Vince McMahon is upset about it. Number one is that we can get back on track as a nation, maybe, you know, hire some scientists to figure out this fucking goddamn pandemic that is the worst in the world here and not other places. Maybe also we can get those kids out of those fucking cages and reunite them with their parents. That'd be nice. I'm not so naive as to think that police brutality is going to go away. Not yet. But maybe it'll be a little better. Maybe some of the Nazis will crawl back into the little rat holes. Maybe. Maybe not. But the thing that undoubtedly makes me happiest is that the president's lawyers gave a press conference next door, like in the same fucking parking lot as an adult bookstore. Stay safe out there. I love you. I love you guys. And we'll get through this together. Not, you know, the world, but, you know, SmackDown's booking of distraction finishes. We'll get through it together, I hope. Maybe not, though. Everything sucks.